right. Welcome into Surviving Paradise, the podcast that takes a sometimes serious, oftentimes humorous look at the claim by Jehovah's Witnesses that they are living in a modern day spiritual paradise. Happy to have you here. Welcome in. I am your host, Stacy Bauman, former elder, ministerial servant, most importantly, a kid raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses throughout the 70s and the 80s. As I always do, just a warning, we like to have some fun here. We like to heal. Sarcasm, humor, experiences, observations, and jokes are all mine. And please note, they are never meant to offend anyone. We do our best to give a balanced viewpoint of paradise in 2023. So again, welcome in. I'm going to go a different direction this week. And it's my hope that many of you will come along for the ride. I'm going to do something I don't often do on this crazy little show, at least not in this capacity. I'm going to actually dig a little deeper into the Bible. I know, some may not like that. I understand. We've got lots of diversity in this little community or audience. But stay with me. Walk with me on this one for a few minutes. I think it's an important conversation. I think it's an important set of observations. There's a reason. I've alluded to some of this before, but I think it's worth revisiting, specifically when it comes to someone that might be on the fence regarding the governing body, Jehovah's Witnesses, or the entire organization as a whole. Note, for those that believe the Bible is inspired, most especially a Jehovah's Witness, as I mentioned, that's on the fence and actually considering an exit, this episode is for you. I realize that for some, a deeper look at the Bible as a source of comfort for a Jehovah's Witness considering an exit may be a little bit of a turnoff. And so that's why I'm giving this warning or this note early on. But it's my hope that you will stay. I think you may, at least as humbly as I can express, you may find some new insight or thoughts in this particular conversation. I also feel like this is a very good time for a disclaimer that I have to mention every so often. It's impossible to separate the subject of Jehovah's Witnesses from the Bible itself. Yes, I recognize the Bible is available to all of mankind. However, Jehovah's Witnesses claim it was only written for them, specifically the 144,000 people from all of human history, little number, that were given a fast pass to heavenly life. Those of us on earth only benefit from the Bible because we associate, and more importantly, we obey the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses, the nine guys or nine would-be spiritual celebrities you can now see on any and all episodes of JW Broadcasting. With that said, I will once again get it out of the way early. Jehovah's Witnesses claim the Bible is their instruction manual for life, that they base everything they do as an organization and personally on the Bible. This despite the fact that almost all of their doctrines cannot even be found in the Bible. So there, I wanted to get that out of the way early. I get a lot of comments and feedback that you're mixing the two subjects, and candidly, and candid talk is, you simply can't separate them. It's their claim that it's their touchstone, so I got it out of the way. Again. So let's set that as a launch point for conversation. A Jehovah's Witness is told that the Bible is all they need, and it should be their touchstone for every decision they make in their life. And look, I can work with that. I can work with it. And as a JW, I truly tried to follow that. Oftentimes, though, found myself disobeying all the other stuff that the governing body taught me. I would defer instead to the instruction manual, Full disclosure, I was a bit of a rebel that way, even as an elder, as I try to share on this show in candid moments. But let's get to the subject. Let's discuss promises, or perhaps guarantees. A promise is such a strange thing. As humans made in God's image, we put a lot of weight in promises, in our word, in a guarantee. Think about all the promises we rely on from the time we are born until we are old people. There are just so many, I'm not going to try to list them all. But our parents promise to take care of us. They promise to feed us. They promise to protect us. We then become little people, and we learn the power of a promise with our friends and how important they are. We move into romance, and we start making promises to someone that we like or we might even love, including the promise that our heart belongs only to them. And the promises just get weightier. They get heavier. As we marry and we commit to lifetime partnerships, we commit to jobs, we commit to paying taxes, not a promise we like keeping. It goes without saying that even as we listen to this silly little show, we are very likely within the boundaries of promises we have made to others and possibly, and most importantly, even to ourselves. And I have a quote that always comes to mind when it comes to promises. I've always liked this quote because I think it has a lot of subtle messaging to it and it keeps it simple. It's from Norman Vincent Peale. He says, quote, "Promises are like crying babies in a theater. They should be carried out at once," end quote. The power of a promise. Let's dig in. Jehovah's Witnesses and promises. And the underlying thought that with all the changes and all the discoveries in recent years, recent months, see annual meeting, there is a good amount of Jehovah's Witnesses at this point that are considering leaving the organization, leaving behind everything they've ever known, including people that they dearly love that simply aren't ready to leave themselves, that want to stay. And the weight of that decision, considering an exit from Jehovah's Witnesses, comes with an incredibly heavy feeling. No two people are the same, and to try to paint every circumstance with the same brush would just be a major mistake. It's absurd. Each person that may be considering staying or leaving Jehovah's Witnesses has a lot to consider. Leaving the org oftentimes comes with unbelievable intense pain or loss. I know that goes without saying, but it's the truth. It's been my experience that if or when someone is considering leaving, they're looking for something to hold on their way out the exit door. Is that a fair statement? I think it is. It's such an unbelievably heavy and painful decision with rippling repercussions in someone's life that they're looking for a guardrail, a life raft, maybe it's even a person, something they can depend on. Anything that will steady the feelings and the fear that they're experiencing and even considering an exit from the only thing they've ever known. And I got to tell you, so many emotions with this. To be honest, even talking about it, I'm feeling them a little bit right now in my solar plexus, just even thinking about it. The litany of questions a person faces if considering leaving Jehovah's Witnesses. Things like, am I going to lose my family? Will I make new friends out there? What about a job? There's lots of Jehovah's Witnesses whose jobs or employment are tied to other Jehovah's Witnesses in the congregation. What is my life going to look like? And while many who are leaving Jehovah's Witnesses decide they no longer believe in spiritual things or in the heavens or in Jehovah or a whole bunch of other things, they just completely don't believe in it anymore, it's important to note that there is yet many others that are leaving Jehovah's Witnesses that still believe in God. They still may even believe in Jehovah, in his name, in his personage, or they may just be spiritual in nature. They're not giving up everything. They may be thinking, I'm losing my religion, but do I need to lose God? And I feel like that's an important subset of people that may even listen to this crazy show, I don't know, but that need a big hug. They need some reassurance, and they need some facts. This is one of the biggest decisions, if not the biggest, those people will face in their lives. I want to leave. This has grown insane. But what does my life look like? What will I believe in? What's my purpose? And first and foremost, for that subset of amazing people, if you believe that the Bible is still inspired of God, then I want to tell you something about that question. Do I need to lose God? Do I need to lose spirituality? Do I need to lose everything that makes me who I am? I want to tell you that the answer to that question is a resounding no. It's no. You don't have to give up all that if you want to leave the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I want to say, I really, truly, at the heart level, hope that brings some comfort to you as a person. And more importantly, before this episode is over, I'm going to show you the one promise, the one guarantee that I personally leaned into, that everyone should lean into when considering such a big decision. It was the one promise that I leaned very hard on when I walked out the door of my last Kingdom Hall forever. And I share it where I can. I've probably mentioned it on the show before, but I really want to focus on it for people now that are coming out of this annual meeting, people that are starting to really see this for what it is, and they're terrified. We all like a good promise. But first, speaking directly to those thinking of leaving the organization, but still hoping to worship the God of the Bible, let's take a few minutes and go back and consider what even Jehovah's Witnesses have to say about his book, the promises, and their own broken promises. Look, we have to discuss those. And then finally, that only promise, that guarantee I'm alluding to, the only promise a Jehovah's Witness should ever consider when making a decision. I want to here establish what everyone who has ever been a Jehovah's Witness believes, and itself a guarantee that will come into play throughout this conversation. From the Watchtower of October 1st, page 12, under the article, A Fulfiller of Promises, we get this nugget of Holy Spirit, quote, "The Bible contains a record of God's promises that have been fulfilled, including some that are being fulfilled before our very eyes. It also contains Jehovah's wonderful promises for our future. Why not examine that record for yourself? A study of the Bible may convince you that the fulfiller of promises is worthy of your trust." End quote. And there you have it. A Jehovah's Witness learns early that the Bible is a book of promises. So for those that still use the Bible as their anchor, as that touchstone, as that instruction manual for life, even if they're now doubting the nine guys in New York who arrogantly claim that the Holy Book is their book, consider what even they have said about the Bible and its many promises. Look, most of us, if you're listening to the show, or have any interest in Jehovah's Witnesses, are familiar with the Bible. The good book starts early with promises. It gets into promise-making from the get-go. God makes a naked man, and he takes his rib, and he makes a naked woman, and promises life eternal if they just stay away from gaining knowledge by means of his tree of the knowledge of good and bad. Well, things go awry. They eat from the tree, and well, mankind is off and running. With that misstep, we soon see God making many, 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 many more promises in the Bible. I don't have time to even bring up the promises to guys like Enoch. How about Noah? He always finds a way in. Abraham. What about his promises to Moses? Promises to Joshua when he's entering into that, certain territory. How about his promises to David? All of those men get their own brand of promises that ended up, according to the Bible, shaping their lives, and indeed, let's be straight about it, shaping the entire nations of people. Do I need to mention that most of the Hebrew scriptures are all about Jehovah living up to his promise to Abraham, specifically Abraham, and getting his favorite people to a place he called the Promised Land? Goes without saying, such a big deal was this promise that it necessitated removing other people that were already living there. And to this very hour, in multiple religions and cultures on this planet in 2023, that same stretch of promised land is still seeing unbelievable violence and fighting. There's a study done by Pepperdine University that claims that the Bible itself contains over 8,810 promises, with 7,487 of those promises coming from Jehovah himself directly to mankind. Talk about making promises, the promise maker. For a Bible reader and believer, we expect every single one of the promises made by God to come true. The Bible itself tells us that it's a guarantee. Each and every one of these are guarantees from the Creator himself. At 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 of the New World Translation, we get this, quote, "For no matter how many promises of God are, they have become yes by means of him. Therefore, also through him is the Amen said to God, which brings him glory through us," end quote. Jehovah makes promises. Jehovah is the keeper of promises. Amen. It's concrete, and it's taught in the instruction manual. So it's easy to reach an obvious conclusion for those, again, considering an exit, those that still believe in the Bible, those that don't want to lose God. The Bible is a book filled with promises. And I bring that up because for those that are thinking of leaving the organization, known as Jehovah's Witnesses, but still again a Bible believer, whatever that reason may be, you will want to lock these facts into your mind. Why do I say that? I'm just some guy. I'm a nobody, really. It's because it will end up bringing you comfort. It's that guardrail, that life raft, if you indeed decide to leave, going to the Kingdom Hall every week. At 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 of the New World Translation, it continues this thought by stating, quote, "Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved ones, let us cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God," end quote. So look, an early observation here, two verses from 2 Corinthians, you'll note first and foremost, dear person who might be considering that exit but love the Bible, that the Bible does not mention an organization. No, no. Just mentions those promises. It mentions Jehovah keeps those promises, and that those promises are between just you and him. Interesting to note, and not something anyone should ignore. When you're considering an exit from Jehovah's Witnesses, the fear-mongering and the conditioning that you've been subjected to doesn't just go away. I venture a bold guess that anyone that's tuning into this nutty little show knows exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't just leave us. You don't make the decision to leave Jehovah's Witnesses, whether you believe in the Bible or not, and then boom, there's just peace and tranquility overnight. It just doesn't work that way. I've been out for 14 years, and I still find myself reacting, thinking, and feeling a certain way due to all that I was exposed to as a Jehovah's Witness. I don't believe in any of that nonsense anymore. But I still find myself answering a question or thinking a thought or taking a left-hand turn instead of a right and realizing, wow, that's because of what's been baked into my head. It was baked into us, especially those of us that were born into this organization. So despite all the promises, and despite any sense of security or insecurity, those feelings don't just leave overnight. With an estimated 8,000 plus promises found in the book of the Bible, it's worthwhile, in my opinion at this point, to at least, let's consider a few of them. Let's consider a few. Again, not a secret what I'm doing here, laying the groundwork. And trust me, I got to admit right here, depending on my mood, for anyone that's a regular, thank you so much from the heart, I'm reining myself in from an entire episode of comparing the broken promises of the governing body versus the promises in the book, the Bible, that they claim only they understand, but, well, a few might leak through. Let's be honest, a few of my thoughts might leak through. I'm going to start with a few of my favorites. With the context of what gave me personally, being vulnerable and exposing myself here, what gave me comfort when I finally left the organization. Here's one example. In Moses' speech to the Israelites after wandering around with a bunch of people just bitching and moaning for decades, he introduces Joshua to the crowd, who'd been in the crowd, but says, he's going to be the new guy at the top. And he gives them a promise that, in my opinion, for a Pimo, who is on the fence in Jehovah's Witnesses, should hold on to if they still believe in the Bible. Moses tells the crowd of Israelites trying to get into that promised land, he tells them this at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 of the New World Translation. He says, quote, "Be courageous and strong. Do not be afraid or struck with terror before them, for Jehovah your God is the one marching with you. He will neither desert you nor abandon you." End quote. I mean, I got to tell you, that's a fantastic promise. It's a guarantee by Moses, who was held in high esteem by Jehovah, was leading his very people into a land that was promised to them. And he says, look, be strong. Jehovah's not going to abandon you. Yes, I can't admit that this is from a moment in time when Jehovah was going to have Team Joshua slaughter the people on his property so that his favorite people could move in. But put that aside. I'm speaking to people who hold the Bible in high respect, as do I. Admittedly, don't find it inspired, but there are many who do, and I respect that. Early on, the God of the Bible promises to never leave his people, to never be afraid, that he was with them. And while many will point to Moses or Joshua as the people speaking or the people this is directed at, that's just not true. There were millions of other people, other Israelites listening in that he was sharing this promise with, and they too believed that they had a personal relationship with Jehovah or Yahweh. Otherwise, let's just use common sense here, folks. He was sending Joshua into the promised land to march alone at Jericho. Probably not the same outcome. One guy, he's got a trumpet and a sword, not the same impact. So the millions of people that were present there were hearing this promise from Moses that Jehovah doesn't leave his people. He doesn't leave you. And then after going a little bit backwards in this whole story, Moses, the Israelites' promised land, after drowning the Egyptians in the Red Sea, the Israelites at one point broke out in song. They received drinking water that wasn't so sour. It's an interesting account. And Jehovah gave another well-timed promise that may not mean much to a Jehovah's Witness today, but nonetheless, a promise is a promise, and it's worth noting if for nothing more than historical context of the Bible. At Exodus 15 and verse 26 of the New World Translation, we get this, quote, "He said, if you will strictly listen to the voice of Jehovah your God and will do what is right in his eyes and will pay attention to his commandments and keep all his regulations, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. For I, Jehovah, am healing you." End quote. I'm using tremendous restraint here. All they had to do was obey him, and Jehovah wouldn't strike the Israelites with such diseases as boils. Those got to be a lot of fun. But he might have been reminding them also of the 10 plagues he had recently struck Pharaoh and the Egyptians with, in trying to force his hand to let his people go, as the story goes. You remember things like water turning into blood, a bunch of frogs. Who doesn't want to be invaded by lice? That sounds like a good time. Flies, livestock that were getting sick. There was a pestilence among the animals. I mentioned the boils. Hail, that's going to make a return trip around during Armageddon. Lots of fireballs coming down from the sky. There was locusts. There was darkness. That had to be absolutely terrifying. And then, of course, he wound it all up by the killing of firstborn Egyptians that, as the account goes, he needed help in identifying before his angel showed up to murder them all. But the promise is what I want to focus in on for a Bible reader and someone thinking about leaving Jehovah's Witness. The promise was made. Jehovah, through Moses, said, follow me, and you're not going to experience the same stuff, and by the way, I'm even going to heal you. The Bible is a book of promises, and it comes from the Creator himself. And we are told they are guarantees you can hold on to. You can white-knuckle those bad boys, because they are going to come true. And in the end, an Israelite and a modern-day Christian, Jehovah's Witness or not, can really, really get great comfort from the words found in the Old Testament at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, again, the New World Translation, which tells us this, quote, God is not a mere man who tells lies, nor a son of man who changes his mind. When he says something, will he not do it? When he speaks, will he not carry it out? End quote. There you have it. Depending on how you view the Bible, Old Testament versus New, the Old Testament is filled with promises. It's even filled with a promised land. It's filled with guys that lived up to promises, and most especially a guarantee there at Numbers 23 that Jehovah, when he says something, he does it. You can lean into that. But again, maybe you're a PMO, maybe you're a witness sitting here and you want to leave the organization. You just don't want to leave Jehovah. And you're thinking to yourself, it's the Old Testament. It's one of the things I struggle with. I got to be honest. That book has got some interesting stories. There's contradictions in my mind. Fair. I get how you're feeling. Trust me. Maybe the promises of the Old Testament just aren't your cup of tea. Understood. Come with me. How about a few promises from the New Testament? Promises made by some of the most respected and believed to be inspired guys that many a Jehovah's Witness believe are actually now in heaven, keeping David Splane's throne warm until he gets there. I know. At Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 39 of the New World Translation, we get this. Quote, Peter said to them, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, not yet enemies of God, apparently, back to the verse, and to all those who are far away, to all those whom Jehovah our God may call to himself. End quote. I have to say, this is a really important promise to consider if you're a Bible believer and a Jehovah's Witness on the fence about the organization. The Apostle Peter, you remember him well, was an original, albeit founding member of the governing body. Or so Jehovah's Witnesses are taught by the modern-day governing body. Can't be corroborated, not in the Bible, despite the many posts I see on social media and YouTubes regarding this podcast. It is not taught in the Bible. But it's an important promise. In addition, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Peter himself, who said this promise, is now in heaven. And it is Peter, among others, who is helping Jesus direct the nine guys in upstate New York in 2023. That's what the witnesses believe. And while I want to focus on the power of the promise in a book you believe to be inspired, it's worth noting that Peter is here discussing baptism. Did you catch it? And well, he doesn't mention anything about being dedicated to an organization as featured in question number 2 at the circuit assembly for baptism candidates. He doesn't feature that a Jehovah's Witness is today required to answer affirmative to a question he doesn't mention. In fact, you'll note, Peter also doesn't even mention a question, much less 2 questions, as I just said. I'm just repeating myself. Repetition for emphasis. His instructions were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and boom, you get Holy Spirit as a parting gift. He says it's a promise. It's an unbelievable thing that we often overlook when we're a Jehovah's Witness. We're promised something by the Apostle Peter, who we believe is in heaven. He's supposed to be directing the guys here on earth that are going to join him up there and be kings. And he doesn't mention any of this stuff. He doesn't mention questions. He just utters a promise, and he reiterates that it comes from Jehovah. He's just the messenger. And I bring all of this up not to be just sarcastic. I'm trying to fire brain cells. But as yet another supporting promise a Jehovah's Witness should be considering from the very book we have established they still believe in, no matter how they feel about the organization itself. The only thing required to being in a relationship with God as a Christian is believing in His Son. Nothing more, nothing less. It's from the book, folks. It's not me. It's not me. I'm just a guy with a microphone. It's in the book. It's a promise. But how about yet another? I'm throwing out examples. This one from another guy that the governing body claims was on the original governing body that Jesus nor the apostles never mentioned, the Apostle John. He had a few things to say on all things promises, and he said the following. At 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25 of the New World Translation, John says this, As for you, what you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also remain in union with the Son and in union with the Father. Furthermore, this is what He Himself promised us, the life everlasting. End quote. So if you're a Jehovah's Witness who wants to leave this organization, or you're contemplating it, you're thinking about it, but you still have a strong love for Jesus. I see those folks that comment about this show on YouTube and whatnot at times. There it is, folks. A promise. Remain in union with Him and all that He entails, all that He taught in those 4 Gospels primarily. You have the promise from Him that He not only is still with you, but so is His Father, and He promises that you're going to get everlasting life. There's no organization mentioned in this promise. There's no mention of time slips. Guess they don't matter anymore anyway. There's no mention of kingdom halls, meeting schedule, book carts, or anything else. But how about one more? From John chapter 3 and verse 36 of the New World Translation, this same Apostle John of the governing body said this, quote, "The one who exercises faith in the Son has everlasting life. The one who disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him." End quote. And again, I bring this up because this is the book that you very likely respect. You don't want to lose these relationships with Jehovah or Jesus, as you've come to understand. And look, they make countless promises that you won't. And not only that, that you will have everlasting life if you believe in them. And that's not something you hear today in a kingdom hall. It comes with a long list of stipulations and requirements that are in reference to other people just like you. I have to point out that there's no formality here with these promises. You believe in Jesus. You're good to go. You're good to go. Again, no meetings, no literature, no mention of a publishing company. Don't need any donations. Don't hear anything about elders. I don't hear anything about a governing body. Zero. This is strictly, according to that book, a one-on-one thing. And if you believe that the book is inspired, then I'm sure you believe that God doesn't make mistakes or commits what I call the sins of omission by leaving out key details on how to avoid his wrath. I mean, would you do that as a parent with your children? No? Safe to assume, neither would the Almighty. And he doesn't. Right there in print. Belief in his Son equals everlasting life. And that printed promise has been saved throughout centuries so that we could be sure to read it and gain comfort from it. People have died to get that promise to you and me in 2023. I could keep going. I could list thousands of promises. I mentioned the study. There's well over 8,000 of them, 7,000+ of them from God himself to you and me. Those are but a few of them as outlined in the Bible for anyone who wants to be a Christian. There are so many more. Feel free to share your favorite one. But shifting gears a little bit when it comes to promises and guarantees and exposing even myself, because I too, like everybody else, like that person that may be sitting out there right now listening that's considering leaving, I went through all of this. I went through all the emotions. I went through the pain. I went through the tears. I cried like a baby. I know what it feels like. But I have to tell you something. I want to establish something about myself. I'm one of those guys, very type A, but very introverted. I absolutely love a good guarantee. A solid promise or guarantee that I can depend on. I know, Captain Obvious. But the truth is, guarantees often bring comfort and a sense of security that we are just aching to find, especially when you're making a life-altering decision. Nowhere is that more true than for a Jehovah's Witness considering an exit from the organization, but don't necessarily want to leave Jehovah or Jesus as they've come to know them from the pages of the Bible. When I left 14 years ago, I have to tell you, in the beginning, and it's probably a long overdue show just to know that I'm a real person, I still had a belief in Jehovah when I left. I still had a belief in Jesus and all things spiritual contained in the Bible. I still believed in it in much the same way a Christian would believe in it today. For me personally, the decision and the thought process and the actions were simple. I was leaving the organization. Not who I believed was, in my case, my only actual father figure in my life, which was Jehovah. If that sounds odd, there might be those who didn't grow up with a dad that know what I speak of. It's highly emotional. Has that since changed for me? Candidly, yes, it has. Whether it's through my jokes, my sarcasm, trying to keep this thing remotely entertaining at times, look, it's changed for me. Today, I am very agnostic. And I have to tell you, I find great comfort and I absolutely love the reality of living with an open mind. It's opened up entire worlds to me. It's created amazing friendships and introduced me to some wonderful, amazing people. But I must say here, I don't think I'm unique. I don't think I'm unique at all. For many that decide or have decided to leave Jehovah's Witnesses, they carry with them a belief. And I gotta say, it's more than a belief. It's oftentimes a fear, a dull ache in their body that Jehovah, Jesus, and an army of angels are all watching on. Not to mention decades of belief and self-doubt that you're suffocated by, including the fact that Satan himself is kicking back, licking his chops. He got another one. And he might even be busy lining up the demons to mess with your life now that you're on the outside of God's organization, the modern-day Noah's Ark. Very few people I've ever met are hell-bent or start hell-bent on leaving Jehovah. I don't know, just off the top of my head, if I've met one person like that. They don't start out that way. They do become or start out hell-bent on leaving a high-control religion that has been suffocating them for decades of their life. Most of the people I've ever known want off the hamster wheel, a hamster wheel program they can't even find in the Bible. They want to stop looking at every other human being on earth as a dead man walking. They want out of the malaise. They want out of the depression. They want to feel like a valuable human being themselves, not someone being reminded that everything they have is due to undeserved kindness. They just want to live. They want to live in the moment, right now. Not for a Disney-like paradise that the Bible doesn't even talk about in detail. For most people I met, they don't hate Jehovah. Most who leave hate the way they feel inside an organization that they've been told Jehovah is running, but their gut tells them otherwise, oftentimes daily. And I think that's very important to share for someone that might be sitting back and on the fence. But there's something else that oftentimes is overlooked, in my opinion, in this matter of promises. Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm speaking from personal experience, live in a world of broken promises. I got to tell you, there are so many broken promises. I don't want to hear turn this into a long list of broken promises from the governing body. We know the list is long. It's very long. But it's worth noting that a lot of what we feel and a lot of fear and a lot of sitting on that fence is a result of some of the pain of just the broken promises. But how about a few? I got to throw out a few that are just too easy to dismiss based on the passing of time. That's the funny thing about the human psyche and experience. As time passes, we tend to forget about a lot of broken promises. We tend to move on with scar tissue all over us. But we can't. We can't do that. Put ourselves as a Jehovah's Witness during the time these promises were made and imagine the impact these broken promises would have on someone's life. From the aptly titled and world-famous Millions Now Living Will Never Die, page 89 from 1918, we get this, quote, "Therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, particularly those named by the apostle in Hebrews chapter 11, to the condition of human perfection," end quote. Oh boy. I doubt there's one person listening to this that was alive in 1918 or 1925, but there were thousands of people there receiving this promise. Please don't dismiss that. This is a promise these guys claim came from Jehovah, from Jesus, by means of them. So if you were holding your breath on New Year's night 1925, armed with a list of questions and waiting for the reappearance of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and hey, let's throw in my guy Noah, you likely passed out, only to be slapped back into consciousness that, well, those guys were a no-show. They were a no-show in 25. But in 2023, those folks from 1925 that were hearing this promise, well, they're gone. Likely gone. And those guys that they were waiting for, still a no-show. I, for one, I have to say, would have been waiting eagerly and volunteering to be the person to take Noah to his first zoo. Turns out they have a big one in San Diego where he was supposed to reappear magically, where Judge Joe had rolled out the sleeping bags for his big Men of Faith sleepover. But no one showed. It was a false promise. But it brings it up to even more recent broken promises by these guys. And we have the generation of 1914 all passing away. And well, the world is still here. And look, let's be honest, do some simple math. Even the children of the generation of 1914, are very elderly or leaving the scene. But we get a promise like this. Reasoning from the scriptures, that nice poopy brown book, page 97, says, quote, "Before the last members of the generation that was alive in 1914 will have passed off the scene, all the things foretold will occur, including the Great Tribulation, in which the present wicked world will end," end quote. That's a hell of a promise. And as you can see in 2023, it was a broken promise. And again, when you break a promise, you can always roll out a new one, right? We're seeing that in full color in the last couple months. The Watchtower of 2010, April 15th, page 10, tells us, quote, God, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. It says, he evidently meant that the lives of the anointed who were on hand when the sign began to become evident in 1914 would overlap with the lives of other anointed ones who would see the start of the Great Tribulation, end quote. Let's say this promise is true, folks. Go back and read the one from Reasoning from the Scriptures. Bold comment. It doesn't even correct it. It's just insulting. It's a broken promise. And again, when it comes to breaking promises and what Jehovah's Witnesses are exposed to in life, never really getting their feet underneath them or being able to really lock into a guarantee in life, when it comes to those breaking promises, remember the governing body expect us, the people they make the promise to apologize. They expect us to apologize when we break promises, but they don't have to. And as we've recently learned, nor are they embarrassed when they break promises. The Watchtower of 2012, November 15th, pages 15 through 19, the series Cultivate the Spirit of a Lesser One. Just as a little reminder and side note, we get, quote, "We may need to humble ourselves by sincerely apologizing to another person if we are unable to honor an agreement because of circumstances beyond our control. Although, he may be able to assign a measure of blame to the other party, the humble Christian concerns himself with his own failings and is willing to admit them," end quote. So using just their reference in discussions of honoring agreements, breaking promises and guarantees, what is the quality the nine guys in New York apparently are missing then? They mention humility. And there you have it. In their own words. Their own words. In print. Currently available to you as spiritual food on the website. And I must say, it's all very odd. Especially for a Jehovah's Witness that still holds the Bible up as an accurate reflection of God himself. A book of promises that any person of faith can take to the bank. In fact, the book tells us it's a guarantee. It assures us this at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Jehovah and Apostle Peter once again say, quote, "Jehovah is not slow respecting his promise," end quote. It's a stunning examination of an organization and a group of men that claim to lead it on all things promises, guarantees, and honoring agreements. Would you agree? But now for the part that I really, really like and what I've been building up to in my own way, I want to share what I believe. And I hope if you've heard nothing else, you'll really hone in on the next few minutes. I want to share what I believe is the only, the singular promise or guarantee that a believing Christian, including a Jehovah's Witness who just wants to leave the insanity of the organization, should truly grab a hold of. It's an undeniable promise, a promise filled with so much comfort that even now, when I'm asked by a Jehovah's Witness who is considering an exit, I just scrap everything and I immediately point them to this. I don't say much, is the truth. If you've met me in person, you know that's true. I just first ask them if they believe the Bible is God's word. Almost always they say yes. Most still do at that point. And when they say yes, I tell them and point them to this. And I encourage them to read it. I encourage them to reread it. And I don't say another word. I tell them to go away and ponder this. Don't say anything. I'm not important. I'm just a person like you. I'm just a little farther down that different path. Even for myself, in the beginning of my exit from Jehovah's Witnesses, the conditioning, the baked-in belief system was a living hell to overcome. I was in it to win it when I was a witness. I absolutely loved everything. And I believed in it. It was baked in. And I have to tell you that your mind may play the ultimate set of tricks on you. If you've left Jehovah's Witnesses, you're going to relate to a lot of this, I think. I know a lot of people I speak to or know intimately do. You were flooded at the mere thought of just walking out of this organization with things like, But what if Jehovah's Witnesses are right? What if the governing body really is Jesus, guys? Will Jehovah hate me if I leave? What if they're right and then I'm going to die at Armageddon? What if I never get to eat a plant-based diet and live in a mansion next to a waterfall with pet elephants? I make fun at this stuff, folks, because this stuff really does crop up in someone that's considering an exit. The questions flood them. The fear of the baked conditioning rises to the top. Many know that they're going to lose everything and everyone by leaving. But yet others, the very thought of losing Jehovah God himself is devastating. There are many people who listen to this show. I see their comments and I deeply appreciate them. Thank you so much. They still are very much Christians. They don't want to contemplate losing Jehovah or God or Jesus. They don't want to do that. A lot of times we consider that Jehovah's Witnesses leaving are going to be shunned by family. They're going to lose all of that. And that is a gut punch beyond words. But the thought of losing Jehovah for others is sometimes far worse. And it can lead to deep, painful thoughts and feelings. It can overwhelm a person. But please note, I'm here to tell any Bible reader and believer that while no one can control how Jehovah's Witnesses will react to you leaving, Jehovah, or the God of the Bible, promises that he won't. He never will leave you. We don't consider it enough for that subset of people that believe. I don't do it enough. Jehovah promises that you're still with him. You heard that correctly. I kind of hope this stirs emotions. I kind of hope somebody's crying out there. I kind of hope somebody's going, oh my God. I hope light bulbs are popping, hearts are bursting with joy. You can leave behind that necktie. You can leave behind only dating baptized Jehovah's Witness brothers with service titles. You can leave behind a lifetime of loneliness because there aren't even enough good men to date in that organization. You can leave behind standing next to a book cart all weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. You can leave behind the suffocating depression, the malaise, the fear, the shame. And you can leave with the confidence that the God who wrote the Bible will be with you the entire time. Some would argue that he will even hold the kingdom hall door open for you. I'm one of those people. And yes, I'm admitting here, I'm strategically building anticipation for why I can say that, I can reiterate that promise, that guarantee with so much confidence. Keep bearing with me. I really, really, really want it to land in the hearts of anyone struggling or sitting on the fence about leaving Jehovah's Witnesses, but want to keep God. So few, if any, Jehovah's Witnesses consider the promise or guarantee I'm about to remind them of. It's not like they haven't heard it. But it was this promise that gave me great, unbelievable comfort at the time when I knew I wanted out. I had all the same questions. I personally had all the same doubts. I personally had all the same fears as anyone else. But I kept hearing this promise. I kept hearing and reading this guarantee. It was in my head. So here goes. The great buildup to the only thing that matters in this whole crazy episode. If you have a Bible, I recommend opening it and reading it with your own eyes. But hey, this is a podcast, so I'm going to read it in full to you. Please don't do that if you're driving, by the way, okay? Please. Or anything else dangerous. A promise Jehovah's Witnesses have had in their possession their entire time. In what I feel is one of two of the most underread books in the Bible itself. The other being the book of James, which is my personal favorite book in the Bible. Please note as a side point, they wrote they did write, but they didn't study publications on the book of James and the book I'm about to share with you, the reminder. Oh yeah, there was a commentary on the letter of James. It was written in the 70s, but it was mothballed faster than you can imagine. It was never studied and it disappeared. There is a reason for that, topic for another show. But they've also never, to my knowledge, gone deep on this book of the Bible either. Here it is. Hopefully I've done a good job building it up. I'm sure some of you are going, my God, dude, spit it out. The only promise a Bible-believing Jehovah's Witness ever needs to consider comes to us from the book of Romans. Join me in a verse you're going to recognize at chapter 8. See what I did there? Old public school, public talk training. Chapter 8 of Romans, verses 38 and 39, where Jehovah gives a promise, a guarantee to any and all who still want to love him, who still want to know him, who still want to be a part of his world and his life, even if they leave an organization known as Jehovah's Witnesses. It says there, quote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, nor governments, nor things now here, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." End quote. There it is. The only promise anyone ever needs from the author of the Bible. The only promise that any Jehovah's Witness who wants to exit a man-made organization should ever consider. Read it. Reread it. Take a walk. Meditate. Read it again. The truth is, you and I have been conditioned to ignore this promise in the Bible. And let me tell you something. Cognitive dissonance is a real bitch. You've likely only seen this promise applied to an organization that has over a century of broken promises in its wake. It's almost exclusively applied to nine guys none of us know in New York who you'll note are alluded to in the verse itself. But wait for it. They're alluded to as being powerless against this promise. Did you catch it? The promise found at Romans 8, 38 and 39, in my opinion, is life-changing for many. If you unpack it in detail, it can give you the chills. It gave me the chills reading it again. It can make you cry. It can give you a sense of relief that you haven't had maybe ever as a Jehovah's Witness. But it's so powerful because this promise covers all the bases. I hung on to these verses for dear life in the beginning. When I started to doubt or feel upset, I opened the book and sure as heck, there it was. The promise, every word of it, staring me in the face. As friends and family evaporated, I still wanted to know that my dad was up there and wasn't kicking me to the curb too. To be very honest and open, I never cared about the people. That's just my experience, okay? Take that for what it's worth. I just didn't care about the people. I know, I'm kind of weird that way. I've never missed the people that I no longer speak to or have in my life. I never had a moment of sadness or regret. I kind of wish I did. I was very concerned about it in therapy, trust me. But the truth is, I was done. And that's my experience. That's me. It's different for everyone. And that's why, in my opinion, for anyone listening that doesn't want to lose God, the God of the Bible, but is eager to ditch Stephen Lett and Mark Sanderson, this is the only promise you should consider and that you will ever need. And it's worth unpacking the details because it leaves no base uncovered. You'll note from Romans 8, 38 and 39 that as long as you love God, nothing, nothing, zero that you do in life can break this promise. Case closed, right? But the guarantee extends to, even to death. It extends through death. Even death can't break this promise. There's a reason I believe this is the only promise a Jehovah's Witness ever really needs. Whether you stay or if you want to leave, it's covered. Everything's covered. Life is covered. Death is covered. But it continues in those verses in just a few sentences. It says, not even governments can get involved and break this promise. Throw out two things you can guarantee on, death and taxes. They don't matter, not according to this promise. So it doesn't even matter where you live or what country you're in. And there goes any worry, in addition, you might say, by extension, in claiming any authority can break this promise. But who doesn't love a promise or a guarantee that includes your safety from anything now here or anything that hasn't even shown up yet? Are there people on other planets? I don't know. Promise covered. Or untold powers. It mentions powers that may arrive on the scene. At the time of this promise's writing, around 57 or 58 BCE, according to scholars, that publishing company in New York wasn't around. Hell, New York wasn't around. Things now here nor things to come. Doesn't break this promise. This promise has that covered too. The God of the Bible here promises that none of that matters. He made sure to include that in his guarantee at Romans 8, 38 and 39. I guess he knew there were going to be things coming after 58 BCE, huh? Maybe even a publishing company run by 9 guys who don't like beards. But did you know that this promise even includes angels? That's right. I got to do it, folks. The same group of genderless guys that noticed how hot our human females are, I might add, I concur, God, women are beautiful. The same guys that sent one of them to kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night, or were appalled at Sodom, but weren't appalled at Lot himself for getting drunk and sleeping with his own daughters, or the guys that made donkeys nervous, or the guys that wiped out the Egyptian firstborn boys, or the guys guarding the entry to the Garden of Eden so two nude people couldn't get back in, or the one that showed up and shut the mouths of lions for Daniel, or the one that went full WWE with Jacob over a ladder, or the one that gave Peter a get out of jail free card. I could keep going. None of them. None of those angels have the power to break this promise. And not to go unnoticed is the fact that even the bad guy angels can't impact this promise, including the worst one who started out in snakeskin, ends up a dragon, and gets an awfully long leash from Jehovah, subject for another day. Neither he nor the untold horny demon army can touch this promise, since they have free reign here on earth since 1914, or so we are told, allegedly, nothing from above or below, according to Romans 8, 38 and 39, breaks this promise. It's an incredible guarantee if you're on the fence. But here is the most critical thing a Jehovah's Witness needs to consider. Please note, insert long pause. Here's the most critical thing about this promise, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, that you need to consider. According to this promise, the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses has no power. They're powerless. They're just feckless men. So anything they say about you leaving or reveling in the thought of themselves personally throwing fireballs at you at Armageddon, it means nothing. According to this promise, it's just the stuff of bullies. They can claim they will soon be spirit creatures that all look like Kenny Rogers or Michael McDonald sporting white hair, white beards in heaven. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Romans 8 says even any other creation won't be able to separate you from God. And that promise came from God himself, right? It's the most powerful guarantee and promise in the entire Bible, in my opinion. And it's the only one that kept my nose above water, and that I want anyone sitting on the fence thinking about leaving this hideous organization to consider. The governing body can continue to keep Jehovah's Witnesses in fear. They can continue to issue lie after lie and call it a fact. They can then change it decades later, and as we recently note, they don't have to apologize, and they're not in the least bit embarrassed by how it impacted your life. But according to Romans 8, 38 and 39, there is nothing that they can do to erase the promise given by Jehovah God in the book they claim is theirs, that exposes them all as powerless idiots that are holding millions of people captive, if not mentally, then emotionally, captive to their promises, promises that we all have seen they've been breaking for well over a century on a rapidly regular basis. Romans 8, 38 and 39 is the only promise, the only guarantee a Jehovah's Witness that wants to keep their relationship with God should ever consider. Listen, leaving Jehovah's Witnesses comes with a price. Even for those that believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And a Jehovah's Witness should question why that is. After reading and rereading Romans 8, 38 and 39, that passage is a clear, concise promise from the Creator Himself. So why is there a price to pay if I leave Jehovah's Witnesses? The answer hurts. Look, I know, it hurts. The answer hurts because we know what the answer is. The answer is because Jehovah's Witnesses as an organization have absolutely nothing to do with the God of the Bible. They never have. And it hurts. If you lean into this guarantee, life will change. Even if you believe and trust in this promise that I just shared, things will never be the same, okay? I'm not one to make promises I can't keep. I'm just a dude like everyone else, so I'm not going to promise leaving Jehovah's Witnesses and keeping God is an easy course. It's not. No one can or should guarantee that there won't be loss or that there won't be pain. But if you're a Jehovah's Witness considering leaving, and you can see these verses in your Bible, you're really only left with one question. Whose promises am I going to trust? It's worth considering. I promise. Thank you all for joining me this week. Little different journey. I truly appreciate anyone who may listen, your thoughts, for or against. But foremost, wherever you may be well.